Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Pete Sweeney is running a little bit late today because of the weather and being out of Arrowhead, so he'll be on with us in 15 minutes or so, but I am still here to keep you company until Pete Sweeney arrives here coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Our playoff coverage here on 610 is brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. You want to know two guys' names that we didn't really hear called a whole lot on Saturday's game? Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Now, Juju Smith-Schuster had two catches for 29 yards. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had one catch for 6 yards. They had a combined 35 yards receiving and three catches in the game. If I'm Cincinnati, what my plan is, we know who they want to get the ball to. Travis Kelce had 17 targets. Second on the team was 7. The Chiefs noticed with Jacksonville that Jacksonville couldn't really cover Travis Kelce, and they followed this pretty crazy strategy of trying to get your best player the football, and it worked. He had almost 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was critical on their most important drives of the game. Travis Kelce was great. Cincinnati's defense is far more equipped to stop Travis Kelce than Jacksonville's was. If I'm Cincinnati, I'm putting extra resources on Travis Kelce, and I'm going to see what Juju and MVS can do in this game. If you're a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, and there's a chance this is your last game with the Kansas City Chiefs, you know what I'm putting on film? Me balling out in the postseason. Eli Apple been doing a lot of talking. I feel good about a matchup between Juju Smith-Schuster and Eli Apple. I feel really good. I don't feel as good about MVS against Eli Apple, but that's another story for another day. If you're Juju and you're trying to get this $14, $15 million, you look at the wide receiver market next year, it's not the best market. I mean, there's a chance that Juju can make a lot of money. You want to know where you really make your money? You make your money in January. You were banged up over the course of the regular season. You didn't have the season that you probably wanted to have. He didn't have a bad season, but he missed some time, dealt with some injuries. He had the hit that sidelined him for a little bit. I thought Juju provided great value. You get paid by being a big-time playoff player, and in a game in which maybe there's a little bit more attention to Kelce as he operates over the middle of the field with Patrick Mahomes' injury, can you make a couple of plays on the outside if you're Juju, if you're MVS? Saturday was about two offensive players for the Chiefs. It was about Travis Kelce and Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco had 95 yards rushing. Travis Kelce had 98 yards rushing. After that, Kadarius Toney had 36 yards. Juju had 29. Jerick McKinnon had 25 yards and didn't give you anything in the passing game. They just also didn't throw it to him a whole lot. Who's going to be that other guy that provides that offensive spark for you? If they could take away one of them, they take away Pacheco because the Chiefs ran the ball effectively the first time. If they take away Travis Kelce, or at least limit him, you can't take him away. Do you get something from Juju Smith-Schuster? Do you get something for MVS? Those are going to be two players that I'm looking at, Rob, in Sunday's game. if we're talking on Monday about Juju Smith-Schuster and MVS having three catches for 35 yards and the Chiefs lose the game.
I look at Juju more than MVS, in the same vein we talked about with Chris Jones last week. Because remember Chris Jones last week, the conversation was he needs a playoff sack or his legacy's on the line. By the way, he still doesn't have one. Juju Smith-Schuster the same way. The sample size of his whole season in Kansas City is really good. He deserves a big contract. But Chiefs fans and all NFL fans are, what have you done for me recently? And if Juju doesn't have a good game against the Bengals, and the Bengals are able to slow down Travis Kelce, which could potentially win the game for the Bengals, Chiefs fans aren't going to look at that. Oh, you had a nice receiving season. You got hurt. You probably could have had 1,000 yards. You had a great year. We should re-sign you. They're going to remember that you were a ghost in the playoffs. I look at Juju Smith-Schuster the way we talked about Chris Jones last week. You better show us something or fan sentiment's going to change. Because right now, most fans will be like, yeah, I love Juju. Bring him back. Have another two-target, two-catch day. I think the change in conversation is swift.
I also think with Juju, I mean, what we're talking about is them investing $30 million total, not just in Juju, but $30 million in their wide receiver next year. Their group just got to get more production from the wide receiver group if you're asking us to spend that amount of money. I think at this point, you should know what you're going to get from Pacheco. I think he's deserved that. You certainly know what you're going to get from Kelce. And I would say up until this, you knew what you were going to get from the Jerick McKinnon passing game. The game script just didn't really require it. McKinnon's going to be really important in this game. If Mahomes isn't going to be able to make some of the plays downfield that he normally is going to be able to make, the screen game, especially up against that very aggressive, very fast Bengals defense, is going to be at a premium. You're going to need Jerick McKinnon to have five catches for 65 yards to help flip the field and use him as an extended run game, which is basically what they did the second half of the season. You're looking for somebody else outside of that Kelce Pacheco to really provide you a little bit of offensive punch. I think we know that Cincinnati is going to score in this game. How many guys on the Chiefs offense can play really well and help provide that scoring punch is going to be the difference between a win or a loss.
And real quick, remember last year in the AFC Championship game, the whole conversation was Mahomes was trying too hard to jam it deep to Tyreek Hill. That's how this storyline, this conversation, this narrative about Mahomes needing to stick to the script and be more plodding and be more 3 yards in a cloud of dust, for an example, than he was last year. So essentially, the Bengals last year in the AFC title game said, you ain't beating us deep, go beat us. The Chiefs couldn't do it. This year, they don't have that guy. A guy like Juju Smith-Schuster fits perfectly into this game. And if he has a big game, I think the Chiefs will win. But if he's non-existent, the narrative may be the exact same on Monday.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined in studio by Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, the editor-in-chief of the most popular Chiefs website, will join us as we talk about the AFC Championship game. Travis Kelce was on his New Heights podcast with his brother, and he was asked about Burrowhead. Here's what Kelce said.
Getting everybody fired up. We are the loudest stadium in the world on record. 142 decibels.
Did you guys break the record this week?
I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to break it this week because a lot of Cincinnati Bengals fans are calling it Burrowhead instead of
Burrowhead. Arrowhead. Whoa!
Yeah.
The disrespect to Arrowhead continues.
They're throwing a lot of bulletin board material out there, Ron.
If there's one thing that the Bengals have done here over the course of the last 5 days or so, it is they have thrown a lot of bullets and board material out there, which has certainly made the lead up to this game a lot of fun. You can't win one time and then look at the camera and then say stuff like this.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Yeah, baby.
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
I mean, Jamar Chase was asked about it. He said, we've done it once, we can do it again. I mean, it's been a lot of talking. And I'll say this. At least the first time, the talking was kind of started by the Chiefs. The Bengals were not saying nothing the last time that these two teams played each other, and it was Justin Reed that started yapping his gums. It has been radio silence from the Chiefs. You have not heard anything from anybody over on that side. They have completely minded their business and stayed focused on what they need to focus on to get ready for the AFC Championship game. This time, it is the opposition. It is the other team that has been doing all the talking in the world leading up into this game. Before we catch up with Pete, one more audio clip I want to play for you guys. Andy Reid was on Tom Brady's podcast, the Let's Go podcast. He talked about Patrick Mahomes wanting to come back into the game Saturday against the Bengals.
You love the grit, but sometimes you got to try to protect the player from the player too. So these guys are wired different. Jim. I mean, that you can hear it in Tom's voice. They want to rip your heart out every possible way they can, jump on it, squeeze it, and everything else. And that's the way Patrick was at that time. But yeah. I just wanted to make sure that son of a gun wasn't broken, because it was kind of an ugly look right there. But once he got it checked out, he was good to go, and he's doing well now. So he's in a good place.
And how will you protect him leading up to the game so that he's able to play? Are you going to have to keep him away from himself?
I'm going to let his offensive linemen take care of that. They need to feel that and, up their game a little bit here.
That was Andy Reid on Tom Brady's podcast, the Let's Go podcast, talking about Patrick Mahomes and his desire to get back in the game on Saturday. He goes back in the second half and helps lead them to a victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined in studio by Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, and we'll ask him our question. What are you most concerned about regarding Mahomes' ankle on Sunday against the Bengals? We'll get Pete's answer next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison. If you missed Patrick Mahomes on Monday at 2:15, you can listen on demand on the brand new Odyssey app or at 610sports.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's known as the Plaid Prince, the Pumpkin Spice Prince, Mr. St. Joe. But now the editor-in-chief of the most popular website joins The Drive. Here's Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Pete Sweeney is here. Our NFL playoff coverage on 610 is brought to you by Metro Ford. You can visit their inventory online at kcmetroford.com. And Pete Sweeney's appearances are brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook app. Pete, before you chime in, I want to play for you what Dr. David Chow had to say. Dr. David Chow at Pro Football Doc on the Twitter machine. This is what he said about Patrick Mahomes' mobility for Sunday.
He did not miss any time in 2019 after the week one left high ankle. Had it stepped on and re-aggravated in week five and still did not miss any time, limped around. But on both occasions, he threw the ball pretty darn effectively, but then didn't run the ball the next couple of games. So his mobility score at Sports Injury Central, SICScore.com, we rate teams and individual players in terms of health. His mobility score is going to be sub 50 out of 100 because he just can't be that mobile, can't expect a lot of runs.
So Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, first off, thanks for coming in. And second, what are you most worried about when it comes to Patrick Mahomes? Because my fear is the play that he made against Tennessee a couple of years ago in the AFC Championship game, I don't know if he's able to make that play. That part of what makes Mahomes so special is there is that threat to run, that if it's third and five, third and seven, you got to account for him and his ability to scramble and get you 17 yards on the ground. I don't know if he's going to be willing to do that in this game. What worries you most about the ankle injury?
Well, it's not only third and five and third and seven. I think there are times when it's third and 15 and third and 18, and not that you want to have your offense ending up in those positions, but in times when during the regular season, even when it's been third and long, and you see the opposing defense drop into more of a prevent look, that's when Mahomes likes to take advantage. And I don't think it's worth it with how raw the ankle can be. You just played Dr. Chow, and he's referring to, okay, so you had the ankle injury against the Jaguars in week one. A couple weeks later in week five, that was the Colts when good old Cam Irving, blast from the past, backed into Mahomes' ankle. And I just think you need to play a certain game as the Chiefs offense where you're avoiding re-aggravation at all costs. And that's going to include, like telling Pat, hey, the only time you could really, I think, scramble for it if it's 3 or 4 yards or less. And man, other times when maybe you're 90% sure you can take off and go, I know it's going to be you being a gamer, but you got to be really careful about going at this point. It's got to be way closer to 100% than maybe you usually like to do it. And you got to take care of yourself. And I just think that the re-aggravation is something to just keep in mind. And I think the Chiefs got to play a game where they are basically working with Mahomes from the pocket, getting rid of the ball quickly, and that way he can play whether it's 80%, 90% for the full game.
And that's why with a lot of the videos and conversations today, it's like, oh, he's not wearing a boot. Oh, it's indoors. It's non-contact. That's not the real indication to me of how Patrick Mahomes is. The real test is Sunday, it's going to be 20-something degrees outside, and another team is going to be trying to tackle that player. And at some point, he's going to get hit. How does he bounce back from it? Like, that's the real test to me.
Right.
And over the course of 60 minutes, because I think one thing that, like, in the second half when he came back, you could still see, all right, you could see that he was, I can do this. I can't do this. We can't run this play because I physically can't do it. That's, to me, going to be the real test, not indoors in a controlled environment in a 10-second TikTok. That's not, to me, an indication of how healthy Patrick Mahomes is.
Well, you got this Bengals team, and they're annoyingly cocky right now, right? You know, as much as I try to be unbiased going into these games, because I try to cover it down the middle as much as I can. Of course, this is Arrowhead Pride. We're always going to be on the side of the Chiefs. I try to look at it from an even perspective. And it's like this. It's like, do you believe that, and I know he's a cornerback, but let's just say in a world where Eli Apple has a shot at Mahomes, that my man is not going low and to the right? I mean, he is. And I think you can expect that from the front seven with Hendrickson and Hubbard and Reeder. If they get a shot to rattle Mahomes, they're going to do it. And not to say that they're trying to intentionally injure, but wouldn't you be going a little bit lower to see if you can get him sort of off his game and get him in pain? I mean, that is a very real part of NFL football. And I'm with you. I think it's got to be a game plan in which you're just getting rid of the ball quickly. Like, a lot of this out of structure stuff, sure, maybe one or two or three times in the game, if it comes to that, especially in the fourth quarter, let's say it's a one-score game, that's a different story. But I think ideally you are playing or trying to play as efficient of football as possible. And you're right. I think there is something to be worried about when every day this week, and I have a video on my Twitter right now of Mahomes jogging and he looks okay, but every day this week, presumably, he is going to look better, right? But if he gets sacked in the first quarter, is any of these videos going to matter from this week? No, they're not. And so it's A, protecting Mahomes, and B, I think playing a little bit of a different game against these Bengals than you would have otherwise.
I like the term you use, efficient, for this game.
Yeah.
And them playing an efficient offense. On Monday, if we're talking about the offensive line in a praise sense, mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs won the football game. Mm-hmm. if we're talking about Orlando Brown and is he going to be back next season and there's disappointment about how he played, the Chiefs lost that game. The efficient football that you're talking about starts with them winning the battle up front. And in the three matchups so far against Cincinnati, that has not been a battle that they have won. They have not won the battle up front on offense or defense, and that's one of the reasons why they're 0-3 against Burrow.
Well, I think every game in the NFL, and it doesn't get talked about enough, is the battle of the trenches. I mean, that really truly is football, where football starts. But I just feel like because of the injury to Mahomes, and then on the other side, because of just the general lack of pressure that Kansas City has been able to generate, the eyes are on the trenches more in this game than I think any other game this season. And that's where it will be won on both sides, right? Like you think about, okay, we talk about all the time, C-Dot, the Chiefs win if. Well, the Chiefs' offense is successful if what happens this week? Well, the offensive line protects Mahomes. It's more important than ever. The defense is successful if they get to Burrow, because they haven't been able to, and Burrow's been able to live back there with all the time in the world and pick apart the Chiefs' defense. I mean, we're still dealing with two rookie defensive backs that you're going to have to rely on. And so more than ever, and like I said, this is really the case every week, but more than even what would be a regular week, it's how does the offensive line perform? How does the defensive line perform?
This game is going to come down to two things: protecting possession and protecting pad.
Mm.
That's the key. The Chiefs have made a critical turnover in each of the three games. The first matchup, penalties. Remember, the officiating was a major question.
Yeah.
The second game, the Chiefs won the coin toss through the interception.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier this year, the fumble by Travis Kelce. Do the Chiefs avoid the critical turnover, the critical mistake that they have been unable to avoid in the three matchups previous with Cincinnati? And do they protect Patrick Mahomes? If he gets sacked three times in this game and the Chiefs continue to not get pressure, this is a game that they lose.
Yeah, and I don't think the Cincinnati defense gets enough credit in these games against the Chiefs, where Mahomes is not really confused all that easily. And in some of these games, he has been. And he was talking about that today in the sense that they – like to mix and match, and some days that they play the Chiefs, they have one game plan that includes a lot of pressure. Other times they're dropping a lot of guys back. Other times it's mix and match, and you really can't predict what they're going to do. And it's going to be up to Mahomes to take care of the football. And then when it's in the hands of the pass catchers, and man, I've said this on this show, I've said this in a lot of the mediums that I do, I just go back to that regular season game against Cincinnati. Man, the Chiefs had that game. If Travis Kelce, who typically doesn't fumble the ball, doesn't fumble there, the Chiefs win that game. I'm pretty sure of it, right? Because I think they score. And they're up two scores at that point. And then this whole thing about the Chiefs being home underdogs and this worry that the Bengals are finally the team to beat and Joe Burrow, Mr. NFL again. I just don't think any of that exists. It would still be the Bengals having to prove it. Now it seems like the Bengals have some of that momentum, and I think it's a natural – they're doubting us that the Chiefs can buy into. And I mean, I think in this game, for a team that's been four AFC title games, is about to host their fifth in a row, to be in a position where you're the doubted team, man, you take that every day. I mean, I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you love that. And I think it all comes down to one play. And that one play was the Travis Kelce fumble. So I completely agree with you. In games this year where the Chiefs have not had a turnover, they've been undefeated. And I still think that that'll be the case. If there's one key I'm looking at, even though we're talking about the lines, it's the turnovers. If they don't turn the football over, they should win.
Have you seen a team as openly confident as Cincinnati is? I mean, Cincinnati, at least on their side, and maybe it's fueled from the first matchup. I thought the Chiefs were the ones doing the talking with Justin Reed.
Yeah.
This time, it certainly seems like it's Cincinnati. The Burrowhead, Eli Apple going back and forth on Twitter right now.
Yeah.
All the talk about the neutral side, Jamar Chase. It seems like Cincinnati has said a lot over the last 4 days.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to think of a time that going into a Chiefs game, a team has done as much talking as Cincinnati has.
Well, what's weird about this, and this is the best way that I could put it, and I've kind of analyzed it in my own head, it's like they have energy – like Super Bowl parade energy, right? You remember the Chiefs Super Bowl, and we all remember Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, and look, they were a little inebriated. They were kind of cocky, but they had won the championship. You go to the following year, you got Tom Brady, who's chucking the Lombardi trophy, and Bruce Arians, who's talking a little bit of S on the Chiefs, and they had already won the title. Same thing in L.A., where you had McVay and Matt Stafford and Aaron Donald, and they're chanting. But, like, they had done something. They had won it. this is before anything has happened. And I think we've seen cases like this in the past where you do have overconfidence, and this is before anything happens. I mean, the only thing that I could really think about comparing to is actually an Andy Reid thing, which was the dream team that really never panned out into anything. Remember the Eagles dream team? And I don't know, the more that I see teams in the NFL do this before the game, the more it seems like they fall flat on their face. It's that Super Bowl parade energy two games before you can act like that. And I just don't think it's a good thing for the Bengals. I'm surprised that Zach Taylor is not only really allowing it, but going to the bar and in a sense partaking it. And if you look at the Zach Taylor post-game celebration in the locker room, they were already talking about just Kansas City, and it's just almost been this grand call-out. And as I predicted today, Andy Reid has very clearly had a conversation with these guys and said, we're not doing it this week, because Justin Reid was holding back. Same thing with Juju, same thing with Pat, which what we tend to expect. And so I think you like that if you're a Chiefs fan. I think you welcome that.
Coming up on the other side, let's keep this conversation going, because in relation to the Cincinnati trash talk, it's crazy how quick your windows can change, because Buffalo was a team looked at as the best team in the league. I think it's clear Buffalo needs to make some severe changes if they want to get over the hump and they want to win a championship. This is that window for Cincinnati that if you don't cash in this window while Burrow's on that rookie deal, Chase is on that rookie deal, your chances and how you build your team is going to drastically change here over the course of the next 12 to 18 months. That if Cincinnati's going to do it, it feels like it needs to happen right now for them. We'll keep this conversation going on the other side as we get you ready for the AFC Championship game. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch former All-Pro tackle Mitchell Schwartz Tuesday starting at 3 o'clock on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The only place in town to hear the hypothetical button game is On the Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, if you missed our conversation with Patrick Mahomes, we'll replay it for you. We talked to him for 10 minutes about his ankle. We'll play that for you coming up at the top of the hour. Pete Sweeney joining us in studio. We're talking about Cincinnati. So I'm sure you've seen by now that, you know, Patrick Mahomes has already gotten paid, but the other quarterbacks haven't. Brock Purdy, rookie quarterback, so he's not making any money. Jalen Hurts, he's basically on the last year of his rookie deal, so their roster is going to change here coming up. Joe Burrow is in the exact same position. This is basically the last year of his rookie deal. He's going to get paid this offseason. Everybody knows that the way you build your roster changes once your quarterback gets paid. You can't have everything. You got to say no to somebody. You got to say no to a Tyreek Hill. You got to say no to a Tyron Matthew. You got to say no to certain players. I don't want to say that this is it for Cincinnati because they've got a very good coach, very good quarterback. I think they're going to keep Ja'Marr Chase, so you've got arguably the best receiver in the league.
Yeah.
But the abundance of riches that they have, you ain't keeping Chase, Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, and Joe Mixon, and Piran. You're not keeping everybody here over the next 2 years. You know how quickly things change in the National Football League. That you can be Buffalo. We think you're the best roster in the league. You lose Von Miller, your defense. Remember when Buffalo had the number one defense in the league? We stopped having that conversation about a year ago.
Right.
And now they've got to make some big additions to get that roster over the hump. This feels like if Cincinnati's going to win a Super Bowl, this is their best chance to win a Super Bowl this year.
Well, when you have a rookie quarterback contract, you can essentially have an all-star team. And you could make certain guys enrich with the free agency. You can, again, load up your roster. And I watched that press conference with Brandon Bean of the Buffalo Bills, and he was being pretty real. You know, it's rare that you get that honest of an answer from a GM and just the difficulty it is to win when you have to pay a guy like Josh Allen, when you got to pay a guy like Stephon Diggs, and this is the Bengals' best chance to win, and I agree with you. It will only get more difficult from here. And, you know, if you're looking for a bright side in Kansas City, what you learn this year is that Patrick Mahomes does not need Tyreek Hill. Would Tyreek Hill on this team be nice? Absolutely, right now. I mean, it would be great to have him, and I think you'd feel a lot better about Sunday if you did. But what he proved this year is that he can be just as successful without him. And look what the Chiefs were able to get back. 5 draft picks. You save a ton of cap room. You can be flexible. Maybe there'll be bigger players in free agency next year. And it's iterations of this thing when you're able to get a franchise quarterback. It's luxury those first 4 years when they're on their rookie, 3 or 4 years when they're on their rookie contract. And then it's can you continue to sustain winning? And this was a big year, not only for 2022, 2023 isolated this season, but as far as the next 3 or 4 or 5 years go, because you have Mahomes locked into all this money, but you've already established no matter what pass catchers we bring in, whether it be Tyreek Hill or Juju and Marquez, Justin Watson, some games that he had to step forward, Sky Morris, you know, et cetera, that they're going to be able to make the playoffs, win bye weeks, and be in the Final Four once again.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I thought that Saturday was a real testament to Brett Veach, because we're talking right now about the difficulty of building your roster once you pay your quarterback. Your leading running back was a 7th-round pick. No money.
Right.
Your number one wide receiver was Kadarius Toney, a guy that you just traded for, a guy who's still on his rookie contract. He's not making any real money yet. Like, the guy who made the biggest defensive plays was a rookie cornerback. Like, mm-hmm. The Chiefs have done a really good job as their roster has had to transform, and they've turned it over a little bit. You're getting great value from guys who aren't making money. You're getting Isaiah Pacheco to play like a 1st-round pick, but he's making 7th-round pick money. That's how you keep your run going, and Kansas City has done that better than any team we've seen that have paid its quarterback to this degree. You gave Mahomes $500 million, and you haven't really missed anything. You trade a potential future Hall of Fame wide receiver, you don't miss a beat. In fact, Pat has his second-best year offensively that he had since he threw the 5,000 yards and the 50 touchdown passes. That's how you continue to maintain the level of play that the Chiefs have had, is they just have drafted really well.
I think that a lot of times – when we're talking about the Veach era in his draft, a lot of people like to turn to Mecole Hardman, and you know that gets compared to what DK Metcalf was, and then Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And we don't have to go into all the names that were available when they ended up taking Helaire, which has been a failure. But, I mean, you look at these last two drafts when it comes to first and second rounders. 2 years ago, Nick Bolton, who somehow is polarizing as he's second in the league in tackles, Creed Humphrey, and that those two are such an advantage when you have them on a rookie contract. And then you go to this year's top first, you know, first and second rounders. You have George Karlaftis, who is a hit. Right. I mean, it took him a long time to get actually produce sacks, but the end of the season, he was excellent. And I imagine there's still more to come from him in the playoffs. Trent McDuffie has been unreal. Right. A big complaint about Veach was, can this guy select a defensive back on day one or day two? What are we doing? Finally, he calls his shot. Right. I mean, he traded in front of the Bills. He wanted McDuffie instead of Elam. Goes and gets him, and when McDuffie's been healthy, he's been good. You talked about the day three picks, but even going to the second round. Yeah, I mean, it's been Sky Moore and Brian Cook, but you can see where Brian Cook's going to be really interesting because I think because of what we're talking about, now we're getting to the deep part of it, they're going to end up having to probably let Juan Thornhill go. Brian Cook's going to have to step up. I think next year's bigger for him. Sky Moore, I think he was impacted. Maybe he shouldn't have been the punt returner. It's probably not maybe. I think we all definitely agree with that at this point. And maybe things would have looked differently. But I even feel like in the moments and flashes we've gotten from Sky Moore, you see something there. I don't know if he's had enough opportunity. I can see that he's starting to get more just because I think the Chiefs brought in two wide receivers in the offseason. But I think next year will be big for him. But these day one and day two picks have been good recently. And then you match that with what Brett Veach always nails, which is the day three picks, the Flyers. The Legarius Sneeds. And now we're talking about Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams and Isaiah Pacheco. And like, it's not just luck, right? I mean, you look at the case of Isaiah Pacheco. Man, Veach sat up there and he said, there's a 1,000-yard rusher on day three of this NFL draft.
And they drafted him.
And he didn't get to 1,000. Took a little bit longer for him to become the starter. I believe it was like 7 or 8 weeks in. Man, if it was 2 weeks earlier, he would have got to 1,000 yards. I believe it was around mid 800, right? A lot of those day three picks, you're just looking for rare traits. When it came to the running back, Veach called his shot. I mean, I'll give it to him. I'll round up to 1,000, right? We always play the Price is Right rules here, Rob. We'll give him that 1,000-yard rusher. And he was really important. I look at that 98-yard drive by Chad Henne. That was a let's stay alive in this game drive. And Isaiah Pacheco's big-time run as he's working and getting his patience down was just a huge part of that. And, man, you need to nail the draft when you're dealing with the quarterback you're paying.
There's probably five guys on the team that I think need to play well in order for them to win. And you probably need four out of the five to play really well.
Who you got?
Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Isaiah Pacheco, Travis Kelce, probably Trent McDuffie. I would say those are the five that you need to play really well in this game. And you don't need all five of them.
Yeah.
But you need four out of the five, I think, to play really well.
I guess the one complaint I have with your list, and I'm nitpicking here because that's a good list. I think you can replace Frank Clark with any defensive end. Like, even if George Karlaftis has a good game, I think you're fine. If same thing with, like, a Mike Dana, if he were to come out of the woodwork. We've seen games where he's had two sacks. I know that Mike Dana's not a hot name.
That's fair.
So, but other than that, I just look at the other four. Who is not Clark? You said Jones.
Jones, Clark, Pacheco, Kelce, and Trent McDuffie.
Those other four need to play well. I mean, we're not talking about Mahomes, obviously, but those four, I mean, you need Jones to play well. You're going to need Pacheco to do what he did the other day and to have the moment not be too big for him. McDuffie is huge because I think you can count on Legarius Sneed. And then you rounded it out with Travis Kelce, who's a given. I'm not so worried about Travis Kelce.
Do you think Orlando Brown should be on that list?
I would maybe. The one that I was complaining about was Frank Clark because I think any defensive end, I think if I'm replacing one, I would swap out Clark for Brown. I think that makes sense. Or just, I know we're cheating here, but Wiley and Brown. I just think if there's one area of greatest concern on Sunday, just given the situation regarding the ankle, it's got to be at the tackle positions. Yeah, especially left tackle. But look, you know what? In a way, this is what Orlando Brown wanted. He wanted this moment to prove his worth. And this is a very literal one-game sample size where if he plays really well, I think he deserves the right to ask maybe for the money. I mean, you're going to hope that he follows up a Super Bowl performance with that. If he doesn't play well, he has no ground to ask for the money he was asking for last offseason.
I think the big difference in these two teams, the first three matchups we've seen with this version of the teams, have been the line of scrimmage. Cincinnati has won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
They won it offensively and defensively. That if the Chiefs lose this game, the conversation in the offseason is going to be, all right, what are we doing here? Cincinnati has all of these changes on the offensive line, yet we can't get pressure on them. Cincinnati has a weaker offensive line, yet runs the football more effectively in these matchups than we do. What do we need to do? This is a line of scrimmage, ball control, ball protection kind of game in my mind. They have not won either side of the line of scrimmage in the three matchups.
Yeah, and it's been incredibly frustrating because you see Burrow and you see a Bengals team who, when they play anybody else, a lot of the time can't protect this guy. That's what's baffling to me. The thing that is super odd in these tilts is that, and the Chiefs were actually pretty good about bringing down opposing quarterbacks this year. I mean, that wasn't the case last year, but they were pretty good this year. But they always seem to struggle in bringing down Joe Burrow, and I think that has to change. I mean, if there's one thing that has to change.
They can't win without it.
They got to get Burrow uncomfortable. I mean, they do, and especially when you're talking about a weaker version of Mahomes, you know, whether that be 75, 80, 90%, whatever you want to call it. They have to get Burrow rattled to an extent. It's just been too easy for him. And again, what has just been hard to figure out about this thing when you look at the numbers is the Chiefs are second in sacks, and the Bengals offensive line, who now has, what, two or three injured guys on it, seems to find ways to protect him. It just can't be the case on Sunday. Can't.
So there was a story on Pro Football Talk, and coming up in a bit, if you missed it, we'll replay our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. And it read, some think that the decision for the next head coach for the Indianapolis Colts comes down to Jeff Saturday and Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. Ultimately, it will be Jim Irsay's decision on who he wants to hire. Ugh. This feels like Bieniemy's last shot to me. I see why he didn't get the job for Chicago when it was open. Ryan Poles had just got hired. The Bears were not going to fire the old Chiefs offensive coordinator to hire the new Chiefs offensive coordinator. I never thought that Chicago was super realistic.
Yeah.
There's no reason for him not to get the job in Indianapolis if Chris Ballard thinks that he's the guy to go get it. I don't know why the Indianapolis fans would be opposed to having the Chiefs offensive coordinator come in and take over and them draft and develop and find their own quarterback and try to enter the fray with the young 20-something quarterbacks in the AFC. I think this is Bieniemy's last shot to get a head coaching job if he stays the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs. Now, if he takes the Ravens job and the Ravens want to interview him, that's a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
If he takes the Titans job and, you know, kind of gets Malik Willis up to speed, I think he can kind of get some of that sizzle back. He's not even the hot minority candidate anymore. That's DeMeco Ryans. Like, you know the media when they were really mad that Eric Bieniemy didn't get hired? That's how they'll be if DeMeco Ryans doesn't get hired. If DeMeco Ryans doesn't get hired at the end of this, get up, first take, undisputed, first things first. They will point to, hey, look what's going on in the NFL. Nobody's hiring DeMeco Ryans. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind with Eric Bieniemy, which is odd, the person who's the offensive coordinator for the team that's playing in five consecutive AFC championship games. But this feels like it's it to me if he's going to get a head coaching job with what he's currently doing.
I mean, I believe two things right now. And, I mean, it doesn't bring me any joy to say how I feel on this, but I don't think Eric Bieniemy is here next year, and I don't think he's a head coach anywhere. I think he needs to go and take an offensive coordinator job, and for especially a head coach that isn't calling the plays. He needs to go and I think have success somewhere where there's no doubt who's coming up with the offensive game plan, no doubt who's calling the plays, and no doubt having some success in that regard. I mean, you are already seeing Mike Kafka get head coach interviews now after a really successful year where he was running the show with the New York Giants, and everybody knew it. And he was able to take what he learned from Reed and make it his own to an extent. And the Giants had a really surprising solid year. And now you're seeing the result of that where Kafka is getting head coach opportunities. Is that fair, especially given that Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson got jobs? No, I don't think that's fair at all, but I think it's just what has to happen now that we've ended up in a place where Bieniemy year after year has gotten, you know, numerous amounts of head coaching interviews. And the problem with Indianapolis is what you just said. Jim Irsay's selecting the head coach ultimately. Chris Ballard has his hands tied, it sounds like. And I think it's been very intentional. You know, you talk about the minority thing where a lot of people were questioning, well, how was Jeff Saturday just named as interim head coach out of the blue? It came under a little fire, and Jim Irsay seems like he's gone above and beyond to interview like 20 candidates, so it doesn't look like he picks his friend, but I think we all know it's
going to
happen.
Eventually he hires Jeff Saturday.
He's going to pick, he had the 20 candidates in, so he says, oh, you should have seen this complete interview process. No stone left unturned, and he's going to pick the guy who went 1-7, and it sucks for Chris Ballard because I liked Chris Ballard a lot in my conversations with him here in Kansas City.
How can you hire the coach that lost that Vikings game?
How
can you hire that coach?
I don't know, and it seems like his hand's tied, and he's not set up for success anymore. Like I think he made a right call by going to a team that had a really well-established quarterback that looked like he'd be a good quarterback for the next 10 years, and it unraveled when Andrew Luck retired, and it's been unlucky ever since, and you know, this is looking like it could be a disaster based upon, you know, the owner's feelings there.
Pete, you know what time it is? Hashtag Ask Pete.
Ooh.
We had this one gotta go earlier in the week, so I want your opinion on it. You saw the baked potato girl, right? She's having a baked potato bar. Shout out to Hy-Vee, they're sponsoring that bad boy.
Good, good.
One gotta go. Mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Baked potato. French fries, hash browns. One gotta go.
Ooh, man. You can't get rid of mashed or French fries, right? So what does that leave? That leaves
baked potato or hash brown. Go ahead and give the right answer here.
I think I'm getting rid of the hash brown.
You're telling me that the best baked potato you've had is better than the McDonald's hash brown? Then when you go to Waffle House and you get that omelet and you get them grits.
No.
That's what you're telling me?
Well, you'll find this hard to believe. I'm a big steak man, right?
Oh, my
God. I love a nice red piece of meat. Nothing like a baked potato with a steak. Can't really have a hash brown with a steak. I'm sorry. I know that's going to be a controversial opinion.
Good answer.
This texter actually has a good point. Dumb you get rid of the mashed potatoes because a baked potato is just a couple smashes away from being mashed potato. You know what? He's right. Whoever you two are just texted in. I'm getting rid of mashed potatoes, and if I want, I'll make my own from the baked potato.
Okay. Now we're just not answering the question. Now we're just changing the whole course of the question. You let the text line do that? The text line will well actually anything. You can't go by that
sometimes
if you're answering these kind of questions.
Sometimes I think the text line should host a show and you should text it. How about that?
Yeah, that's what it would be. But do you like Skittles or Starburst? Well, what kind of Skittles? Okay, just which one do you like? Man, why are we doing this? Really quick, give me an X factor for Sunday's game. One X factor on the Chiefs.
Well, we've already kind of talked about what I think the main points are. I think there would be a little bit of an emotional boost if you can finally get this Mecole Kadarius thing cooking. I told you what I think is most important for the game as far as the trenches go. We've talked about the most important players. If you're looking for something that's hidden, maybe from the national media, I think it's what it could mean for Mecole to be out there for them, you know, especially a guy that, you know, from what we've heard has been really working hard behind the scenes and they've missed him in the offense and asking Patrick Mahomes and Juju about these guys and what they could do. All they talk about is that speed. And, you know, I think a lot of Chiefs fans have been dreaming, like, what is an offense with Patrick Mahomes? And then you have Kadarius and Mecole and Juju and Travis Kelce and Jerick McKinnon on at once. And it is a who-do-you-defend situation, and as much as Mahomes wants to compliment Cincinnati's defense on confusing him, maybe that can be ultra-confusing for them.
That is our guy, Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, joining us on the show today. If you missed it, earlier today, we talked to Patrick Mahomes about his ankle for 10 minutes. We'll play that 10 minutes for you coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.